The Drives podcast is presented by Disability Advantage Group. Need help applying for Social Security, disability benefits? One call does it all. Call Disability Advantage Group at 865-566-0800 or visit dag-us.com.
You're listening to East Tennessee's premier sports radio call-in show. This is The Drive.
You know, I love Tennessee. I got a lot of orange blood in my body.
All right, welcome back. The Drive continues. Hour number two getting underway. We're live this afternoon, Corner 16. Russell, Barrett, Brandon hanging out with you on a Tuesday afternoon edition of the show. And pleased to be joined off the top this hour by special guest VFL Armani Moore, Tennessee basketball player from 2012 to 2016, I believe. Armani, good afternoon, sir. How are you?
Good afternoon. I'm doing great. How are you doing?
Hey, doing very well, thanks. Did I get those years right? You're 2012 to 2016, correct?
Yes, sir. You got it right. Making me feel old.
Oh, you're a young man. You got your whole life. I'm staring down the barrel of 40, Armani. You got not old at all. So tell it. Catch us up a little bit before we talk about the game tonight. Where all has life taken you the past couple of years since you left Tennessee?
I have been in Poland for a year and a half. Ended up leaving there halfway through my second year and went over to Germany and played there for about 5.5 months. And then I took a break and then I ended up going over to New Zealand for about 6.5-7 months. And then now I just came back home, probably going to be home for maybe a week or so, and then potentially could be heading back over to Germany here over the weekend. So it's been a busy couple of years.
Wow, so you have been putting that passport to use. And, correct, are you from Statesboro, Georgia?
Swainsboro,
I'm sorry. So growing up in Swainsboro, Georgia, did you ever think life would take you to Poland, Germany, and then New Zealand?
No, you know, as a kid, you know, you always have that particular dream. That's to achieve that goal to get to the NBA. But obviously, you know, a lot of people in life have different routes, you know. Fortunately, I've been blessed enough to go over to Europe and see many different parts of the world. And I can truly say I'm grateful for it because I have seen a lot of things and experienced a lot of things as well.
No doubt about it. You're blessed getting to travel like that and play basketball for a living. Now, do you have, out of Poland, Germany, New Zealand, do you have a favorite among those countries that you've gotten to live and play in?
Yeah, I definitely would say New Zealand is probably one of my favorite countries I have been to. You know, just hearing somebody say the word New Zealand, you don't necessarily think of nothing fancy, spectacular, but I was living in one of the biggest cities in New Zealand, which is Auckland. And, man, it's surrounded. It's pretty much is its own little island. And it's surrounded by a whole bunch of water. It's a lot of cool restaurants. It's, I think, over close to 2 million people that live there. So it's a pretty busy place, man. I really enjoyed it this year.
So New Zealand, I'll be honest, not sure I could find that on a map, Armani. I know it's somewhere near Australia, but that's it. But that's the fun place to play. Would you like to go back there? I know you said you're going back to Germany. I guess it's kind of just you go to wherever the paycheck would be highest, correct?
Yeah, that's the main goal. It's all about the money, the fit for me as an individual, you know, as well as the system of the team. But, I mean, I'm definitely open to going back to wherever, you know. I wouldn't say I necessarily had a bad experience anywhere I've been, but Auckland was one of the nicest cities as far as from that aspect of living.
Very good. Armani Moore with us here this afternoon on The Drive. And, Armani, you're back in Knoxville for the week, getting a chance to see the Vols play. What's it like to be back at Tennessee, doing well, kind of like they were? I mean, you guys had that great run, I guess, your junior season to the Sweet 16, then the coaching, a couple of coaching changes, and Tennessee kind of fell off the map a little bit. But now the Vols are back under Rick Barnes in a big way. What's it like to be back during this really exciting season for Tennessee basketball.
I mean, I feel like it's moments like this is exactly why you want to be a VFL. You know, being an alumni, part of an organization like this, I think it's humbling just because of the simple fact that, like you said, you know, I've had multiple coaches. I've been through a lot of stuff. I've seen many different styles, and just to see Coach Barnes come in here and embrace the program and have talented kids like they have now embrace him, I think it's creating something very special. It's creating a lot of buzz. You got guys talking about this. I'm all the way over in New Zealand. You got New Zealanders, you know, telling me, you know, Tennessee beat so-and-so last night. So it's starting to become a global thing. And I think that's what really makes me proud about seeing what these guys are doing, man. I've seen them work hard, you know, just to throw a name out there, Admiral Schofield, from when he came in from a freshman. You know, we used to bang it out. You know, now he's one of those guys that, you know, he's around here bullying guys on the court each and every night. It's just fun to watch.
Now you got Vandy in town tonight. You were a part of a couple of those knockdown dragouts with the Commodores back in the day. What are sort of your memories of that big in-state rivalry Tennessee has with Vanderbilt?
I definitely can say one of my biggest moments is in the quarterfinals when I hit that not game-winning three, but pretty much to seal the deal three down in Nashville. That was probably one of the biggest moments of my life. I think Kevin Punter, one of our leading scorers, was out of that game, and he wasn't able to make it. And I think that was one of the games where I pretty much had to go out. I had to play point guard and, you know, just will the team to a win. And I think the guys did a good job of just helping me that game and getting to my spots. And everybody played hard, and we came out with the W.
Yeah, you were a really versatile player, as I recall. You actually came to Tennessee. I believe Coach Martin recruited you as a point guard, and you played there some as a freshman. Then you started moving around, kind of this trend we've seen towards positionless basketball. Armani Moore, what was he? Was he a small forward? Was he an undersized power forward? Was he a shooting guard, point guard? I mean, you were a little bit ahead of your time in that regard.
Yeah, I mean, it's pretty much whatever I was called to do, man. I just try to go and complete the task. I mean, it was a couple of seasons where, you know, we had a couple of guys get injured. I might have had to play the four, and then sometimes we have foul trouble. I might have to go to the one. So I remember it clear as day during media day where Tom ended up putting my card, you know, for the name on the table. They just called me Mr. Everything. So that's kind of the role I tried to fulfill when I was there at Tennessee.
There you go, glue guy Armani Moore with us here this afternoon. And, you know, you were a part of, as we said, a tumultuous time with a couple of coaching changes there. What was that like for you, being one of Coach Martin's first recruits? Coach Martin leaves, Donnie Tindall comes in. I mean, this day and age, we see, particularly in basketball, so much transferring going on. I mean, that had to have at least crossed your mind. Did you ever consider leaving UT, and what was that like to go from the transition of Coach Martin to Coach Tindall?
You know, it's quite funny that happened. That transition actually was very smooth for me because during the recruiting process, Donnie Tindall was actually one of my favorite coaches I had talked to during that process, and we actually talked consistently for weeks and weeks. And, you know, the only thing that kind of steered me away from actually going and joining him in his program was the place that he was located at. It's down there in Moorhead, Kentucky. I think that was probably the worst city I've ever been in my life.
It's not Auckland, New Zealand,
great,
huh?
Great guy, man.
Armani Moore with us here this afternoon on the show. Armani, a couple more things. We'll let you go, man. Who are some of the guys? You mentioned Kevin Punter. Who are some of your former UT teammates and coaches that you still like to keep in touch with to this day?
I definitely talked to KP. Man, KP was actually just on the phone today for about an hour talking. I still talk to Coach Martin. I still talk to Donnie Tindall. Of course, me and Coach Bourne still talk. Coach Lanier, me and Derek Reese, we still keep in contact every now and then. Obviously, I talk to Admiral. But that's just a couple of guys and a couple of coaches that I still am in contact with.
All right, very good. Now, is this the first time you've been back for a Tennessee game since you've left?
First time I've been back. Very excited.
Oh, wow. So, I mean, when you see the Commodores come out there, big in-state rivalry, I think there's probably be a big crowd tonight in Thompson Bowling. I mean, is that going to get your competitive juices flowing? I mean, I know your eligibility's up, but you probably like to step out there and play a little.
Yeah, you know, hopefully I can suit up as Admiral Schofield. Maybe we can switch at halftime and see if we can pull it off. But if not, I'll just try to sit on the side and try not to get tagged or thrown out.
All right, very good. Well, Armani, welcome back, man. Enjoy your visit here in East Tennessee, and good luck to you. You said you're going back to Germany this weekend?
Yeah, potentially. I haven't really made a decision yet, but that's a potential place I'll be headed.
All right, man. We'll be keeping up with you. Best of luck to you. Thanks for jumping on the show with us here this afternoon.
No problem. Thanks for having me.
Yeah, man. Armani Moore making his presence felt this afternoon on The Drive. Bear, what did you learn?
He might be going back to Germany this weekend.
How about that?
The journeyman.
Yeah.
Didn't realize that Donnie Tindall had recruited him at the same time we've been recruiting
him. When he was at Morehead State, so then Donnie bounced. So he was at Morehead State, and then he only at Southern Miss for, what, 2 years?
Yeah, I mean, long enough to get into trouble. But.
Old Donnie.
Yeah. Armani liked Donnie.
I think we all liked Donnie.
Yeah, he's just really bad at cheating.
He was just
terrible at it.
Mistakes were made. Yeah, but, I mean,
that's one way to
listen,
put it.
You know, again, we all like Donnie, but kind of glad he made him, right? Because now we have Rick Barnes, and we have a basketball program that is just fantastic. John Tweet made a great point, and I forgot I wanted to ask him about this. He was Armani Moore. He was only like, I think he was listed at 6'5", 6'4", 6'5". It's kind of like too big to be a point guard, but too small to be a forward. Just a kind of, like he said, just a blood and guts guy. But man, he was one of the most vicious shot blockers we've ever had. I remember, like, when Armani,
he had as a kid say, hops.
When he would peel off. When he would peel off the weak side and just come across the lane out of nowhere and just put somebody's shot in, like, the seventh row. Oh, my goodness. Look who it is.
My little brother.
He looks good in the bow tie.
He likes him and Chance.
He's bow tie, man.
Yeah.
And a vest.
Yeah.
Bow tie and a vest.
Yeah.
That is a good look. That is a good look.
My nephew's here.
What that is this the hockey player?
Yeah.
I hear about? All right.
Yeah.
Steer clear of him. I don't want to drop the gloves.
He's not afraid to. It's like his own.
That's what I hear. All right. We'll take.
You know, yeah. I was surprised. You really couldn't find New Zealand on a map, Russ? I took it as
northeast of Australia? Or
no.
Just east?
Southeast.
Southeast. It's underneath Australia?
Like, yeah, if I could not live in Knoxville, Tennessee, like if that was off the table, I would want to live in Auckland, New Zealand.
I've heard New Zealand very, very beautiful.
They have very little, like,
that's what they say.
Plant diseases and plants.
Really?
It's like, yeah, it's like Eden, like the Garden of Eden down there. I don't know if they still did it. One time, I had a friend. She was from Auckland. She was an au pair up here for a rich family here in Knoxville.
Is that like a fancy schmancy way of saying nanny?
Yeah, basically. But you would walk through this contraption when you get off the flight, and it would mist you with like some kind of mist that would kill, like, you know, germs, bacteria, plant diseases. You're not allowed to, you're absolutely not allowed to bring any kind of fruits or vegetables in from outside New Zealand. Animals are very restricted.
You can't bring it into the country,
right? Because they've got a very low incidence of
Why don't we do that?
Because
we've just got everything already, and it's like there's no turning back at this point.
Yeah. Well, like if the crap goes down, if I could, I'd try to make it to New Zealand.
If the zombie apocalypse happened, you might be safe there.
Yeah.
Island nation, small island nation with relatively healthy populace.
Yeah, I mean, I could go down there and do, like, you know, drive time radio and talk about rugby and mutton and
rugby. Big.
Do they have sports radio? Yeah, rugby.
Oh, you know
the, what did they call the? Is it the All Blacks? The team?
I'm not sure.
The rugby team is like the best rugby Yeah. Like, they'll just come out there and just roll over anybody. Just annihilate you. Yeah.
Yeah.
All right. Stay with us. Quick timeout on the drive. We'll come right back to these phones when we continue. 865-546-8200. Your number to get on the show. Back with more after this.
The Drive.
Now, party. The Raj just walked in. Oh, man, I hope somebody's ready to pay a big bill here.
They are slaughtering another pig out back as we speak.
The Raj looks hungry.
How many pork chops can you eat?
Two?
Two, yeah. That's not what I heard.
I watched you eat seven that night we all went to wrestling. Remember that at the Waffle House?
Yeah.
He ate seven pork chops.
Seven pork chops at Waffle House?
Yeah.
How was that even possible?
It was fantastic, Russ. You know why? He was eating so much, and everybody was staring at him. I ordered a second waffle and didn't feel bad about it.
Two waffles, huh? That's nice, Bear. That's nice. All right, get back to it here this afternoon. We're live, Corner 16, The Drive. It's Fan Run Radio, and Fowler brought him. Brought the Raj this afternoon, so we're getting a nice crowd turned out here. Yeah, get signed up for that copper card. I mean, that might only cover your first course, Raj, but by all means, go ahead and sign up. Let's get to these phones. Phones are popping this afternoon. John Tweet up next on the drive. Good afternoon, Tweet.
Good day.
Yes.
What a great interview, Armani Morris.
Yeah.
He was a great guy I don't know what kind of guy he was, but he was a great player while he was here. You know, was always
like a
undersized.
Great guy too. Very engaging.
Yeah, always undersized, always. He was like a beast in the paint too. And he wasn't big. He was slight. He was small, way smaller than what Grant is in terms of, you know, weight. That dude blocked, I swear to God, he blocked more shots than anybody I can remember recently, and did so in such a fashion where he took a man's soul when he did it. He never just, you know, barely blocked it. He sent it out of bounds somewhere almost every time.
Yeah,
I think he was on that team. He was on Donnie's team when Donnie won they beat him up there at Vanderbilt. Vanderbilt had a really good basketball team that year, and I seem to remember Donnie just strutting. Walking down the floor. That's funny that Donnie recruited him prior when he was at Moorhead, but he said Kentucky was such a dump, he'd never live there. That's probably the greatest line I've ever heard.
Oh, man. Donnie Tindall was, you know, for a guy who was here, like, what, 9 months maybe?
He burned bright.
I mean, Donnie Tindall, Lane Kiffin, we like to bring those guys in just for a quick,
guys that are horrible at cheating.
Quick cup of coffee, and just see how much damage they can do in less than a year.
probably one of the better basketball minds you'd ever come across was Donnie Tindall. Stuff they did, out-of-bounds sets, getting shots when you needed to get a shot or something late in the shot clock out of a timeout. That guy was as good as they come. He was from some of the last. I mean, we might not always hit it, but you'd have about as good a look as you could ask for. It's always curious to see what he would have done had he been here, other than burning the program to ground. But I think Donnie's in the NBDL right now. I believe, at least last I saw, he was coaching in the developmental league. I think somebody will give him a chance on a bench somewhere in the NBA. At least I hope.
Hey, true story, the last time I talked to him, and it was like the year after he left, so 3 or 4 years, he was offered the head coaching job of the Iranian national team, and he was considering taking it. He ultimately did not, but, I mean, that has international incident written all over it. I mean, can you imagine Donnie Tindall?
You can't recruit to – well, I guess you could recruit – What would that be like? I mean, what do you say exactly? I'm not – Jamie's point, and I think my point about recruiting, is like, hey, you got to get better talent in. And now that he's doing that, I don't really have an issue with it. You know what I mean? So your 2019 class and your 2020 class, he's recruiting better players. Just like, to be fair, if he could have gotten four or five-star talent in here or elite top 100 talent in here when he got this group in, he would have gotten them in. He wouldn't have turned them away. So I think it, you know, maybe the unfair part of what I would say about him was that, you know, maybe he felt like he hadn't built it up enough or something, or the way he was going to build it. You know, he needed to have established something in order to bring the other guys in. Maybe, but now that he's up.
The biggest thing was you guys, who we affectionately call the Barnes Bashers, were not – you guys just weren't being realistic. The program was Chernobyled after Donnie left, and I love Donnie, but it was radioactive. Even Rick Barnes wasn't going to be able to come in here and sign top 50 players like you guys, and you guys were calling him lazy and grandpa, and he was just here.
Would you call him a Mizzou Chernobyl?
And eating at Pete's, and it just was never realistic until he got it. Now you see, as soon as he's got it rebuilt, we're swimming in those waters.
All right, just keep swimming in those waters. As a game coach for me, he's still – let me ask you guys a question and see if I can get an answer out of y'all. On Saturday, when things started going the way they were going, what did Barnes do to try to change the things?
Well, he went to that zone. I mean,
that zone was way late in the game when it was already decided, when we were down 24.
No, the game hadn't been decided, man. If we get a couple more stops there and get it to single digits, it's game on. Yeah, I mean, we got behind way too much, but, I mean, you know, you ask a question, he pushed. That was the button, I mean, the big strategic button that he pushed.
Zone. But To me, I think he let him take a loss to try to teach a lesson. You'd have a hard time convincing me otherwise.
I don't think he let him take a loss. I think he wanted to win desperately, but I don't think he's devastated, tore up. I'm probably taking it a little harder than he is.
It's a regular season game to me. You don't think he would have, Turney, you don't think he would have done something different? You think he'd have just taken that L like that?
Like what? I mean, I don't know.
I'd have probably taken a T somewhere. The time Grant got knocked to the on a screen, I'd have taken a C. Well, I'd have been out on the floor.
I suppose that's fair, you know. Be a little bit more demonstrative and stick up for your star players. But correct. The thing that I was thinking is you listen to him talk, and I just feel like he was very disappointed. He feels like they had a game plan, and they saw what Kentucky was going to do coming, and that the players didn't execute their game plan. And I think that he was, you know, it was like, listen, we planned for this. You guys are freelancing out there. You're not playing. I know it's difficult, but let's do what we talked about. And I think he feels like that didn't happen. And we'll see, you know, if we another crack at these guys.
I think he kind of gets exasperated with it, or, you know, hey, we're trying to do this. And then, I what do you want me to do? They're just not going to do it. I think in a tournament game, you know what I mean? Like when it's that loss and you're out, it's that kind of mentality. I think he'd behaved or coached differently. You know what I'm saying? Or yanked people quicker. We'll see what happens tonight. If they don't come out, I think you'll learn a lot about them and how they come out tonight. You know what I mean? Is this going to define you? Is this going to basically, you know what I mean, be it? Or are they going to come out like they should have come out the last game and get back on track? A good team will come out and paste this team. I mean, a great top five basketball team would come out and bury Vanderbilt under the floor. It shouldn't be close. I mean, we should be by 15 to 25, somewhere in there. We should hammer this team.
Well, let's do it. All
right, boys.
I think that's all. Yep. That's what we all want to see. Thanks. Yeah, thanks, Tweet, man. Appreciate the phone call. 865-546-8200. Let's get Phil in here next. Phil, you're on the drive live this afternoon from Corner 16.
Like I say, Davey.
Philly.
How are you, Barry Brown and Brandon doing?
Doing well, sir. Doing well. How are you?
Hanging in there.
Good.
I hate that Miss Jamie last hour. I heard Willie. Great combination, you know.
Oh, it has been a we had Travis taking shots at me unwarranted. I mean, it's just been a parade of dullards.
It wasn't unwarranted.
It's good to hear from Armani Moore, a young man with his head screwed on straight, to kind of break things up.
Really, Tennessee kind of needs a player like Armani Moore. Armani Moore did the dirty work, and he could play just about any position except center, and Tennessee don't have a player like that on the roster.
Yeah, I mean, he would add a lot. I mean, there's a reason he's I would dare say, making pretty good money playing professional basketball overseas. I mean, he's a nice player.
Speaking of needing players, we need another post player, and I don't care how they get one or whatever. They're going to have to do something. Are they going to what are they going to do about this post player? We're short a post player, and what are we going to do to rectify it?
Well, I mean, it depends on if Grant Williams leaves earlier, I suppose. Right now, as you know, Phil, all the scholarships are spoken for, so we'll see what Grant
does.
Well,
in the meantime, I mean, this is the year we're going to make a run.
Oh, you're talking about right now?
Yeah.
Well, I mean, what do you think? I think, first of all, we got to get Kyle Alexander playing back to his capacity.
Yeah,
right? I mean, I think that's
point.
First. Go ahead.
I mean, Fulkerson and Walker, there's an enigma between those guys, you know?
Yeah. They obviously want it to be Fulkerson. They want him to be the big guy off the bench. And it feels like he's close to me, Phil. It feels like he's close to giving. Nobody expects him to come off the bench and dominate a game, but we expect him to come out there and just be solid and keep us in it when we need to get the other guys a blow. It feels like he's really close to doing that, but he's just not at that consistent level yet.
Yeah, he plays okay, but we need somebody that's got some physicality to him. And what's so bad about Derek Walker is he got in shape and lost all that weight and supposedly got stronger, but he plays worse than he did last year.
It's almost like he's not comfortable with his new with his body.
Well,
cut all that weight and then got muscled up, and he doesn't seem to be the same guy anymore.
How do you explain that? I mean, usually it's the other way around, isn't it?
Sometimes. I mean, I've seen kids, you know, guys do it before.
Would you burn DJ Burns' red shirt if we had a chance to get to the Final Four?
Have you seen him on the sidelines?
I haven't been there on the sidelines. I sit up in the arena.
Well, I mean, I forget you go.
He's lost weight. He's lost 30 pounds since he's been here.
He's
coming
here
about 280.
I don't know that he's ready to get in the mix and in the hunt for.
Hey, Phil, based off things I've heard from people who've attended practice and stuff, it's not like he's some dominant force in practice. And the worry is that, you know, how's he going to hold up guarding a, like, if you thought P.J. Washington and Reed Travis were tearing up Kyle Alexander, Grant Williams the other night, put D.J. Burns in there and see what happens, you know. So I think he's a nice prospect and going to be a nice player, but he's 17 years old right now and trying to lose weight and get in shape and adjust to college life. I don't think if they threw him in there, it would be any you know, great revelation.
Well, what about Zach Kent Cook? Is he ever going to put is he ever going to play at Tennessee?
We've never seen him. I've heard that he can shoot it really well for a guy who's a legit 6'10", but maybe not the most fleet of foot guy and might have trouble, again, you know, guarding high-level SEC big men.
Well, it's very obvious that everybody's figured us out now. Take the ball inside on us because we're weak inside. That's the bottom line on Tennessee right now. Unless we find a way to defend better in there, we're you know, I doubt we'll get past Sweet 16.
Would that be a disappointment to get to the Sweet 16?
I want to at least get to the Elite Eight.
Yeah. Now, I feel you.
See.
Thank you, Philly. I feel you, Philly.
I kind of feel like down in the dumps, Phil, is starting to.
Yeah. He was doing good there for a minute.
Well, yeah, because we're going like 19 straight.
This has brought his world crashing down again. T-Carp has left the building.
Huh.
Fowler's trying to get Raj to sit down and have a bite, and Raj
he's
just like,
he's staring at you. You want a hug from Russ? Is that it? I'll get him to give you a hug.
We're hanging out, man. Rogers, we haven't seen him for a while. He wants to sit here and listen to the show. It's all good. It's all good.
Phil was being negative a little bit.
Are you going to the game tonight? You are? Oh, man, that's awesome.
Are you going to – we're going to win? Hopefully.
Have you been to many Tennessee games this year, Rog? This is your first game of the year? Are we going to have a packed house? Is it a sellout tonight?
I don't think so.
I don't think it's a sellout, but I still think you'll have a pretty good crowd there. Rain might push some people away, but
what do you think? 17,000-18,000 in there tonight?
Yeah.
Which is a huge crowd. I mean, it might look like some empty seats in our arena, but 17,000 for a Tuesday night game against a team that hasn't won a conference game
in a monsoon.
Is it going to be a monsoon tonight?
Yeah, it's supposed to start soon.
Well, it's supposed to have started by now, but I mean, we're holding pretty steady.
Yeah, hopefully it holds off until at least until I get in the arena, please.
Oh, Roger's taking a seat. He's got himself some tea.
You got your cleats on, Roger? Roger wears cleats when he eats.
He's getting ready to go, man. He's going to lean into it this afternoon at Corner 16.
Hey, your buddy's eating a burger, Rog. It's not like him to sit and watch somebody else eat.
865-546-8200. Your Rickard Ridge Barbecue Spoken Out question today is, who's got to step up? Who's got to step up for the Vols tonight against Vanderbilt? We'll get your at Fox Sports Knox poll results coming up next. We'll get to more of your phone calls as well. The Drive continues live this afternoon from Corner 16. Stay with us. We're back with more right after this.
The Drive.
The Drive's podcast is presented by Disability Advantage Group. Need help applying for Social Security disability benefits? One call does it all. Call Disability Advantage Group today at 865-566-0800. Applying for disability can be very tedious. Having an experienced attorney on your side makes it easy. Call Disability Advantage Group, 865-566-0800, or visit online at dag-us.com.
Fox Sports Knoxville, The Drive rages on. Coming to you live this afternoon from the corner. Corner 16. Come on out and join us right on the corner of Middlebrook and Bob Kirby Road across from the big food city. Yeah, we're staying dry in here so far, which is surprisingly good. A nice development. Now, the burnt ends didn't last long. Brandon had the, what do you call that?
The Rocky Top Hot Brown.
The Rocky Top Hot Brown, which was an amazing concoction of turkey and bread and gravy and bacon and egg.
Yes.
And then tomato.
Yep, tomato, some diced tomatoes on top.
And you're getting set to, are you still going to get?
Well, I'm torn.
Yeah?
I'm still getting dessert. I'm torn between the banana split.
Should we get that whole banana split?
It's tempting. I want to tackle it at some point. I don't know if today's the best day, but
run down some of the other desserts. I'll see if you're making.
So, the banana split, peanut butter pie, which is mine. That's mine.
Is that your go-to?
That's what I'm thinking about going with. Lemon icebox cheesecake, banana pudding.
Banana pudding. Whoa.
And then obviously their milkshakes and their malts.
I get a nana pudding with maybe a chocolate malt to wash
it
down.
I'm thinking about the pie. That sounds good.
Wonder if they'd bring me a nice tall glass of milk.
I need you to find out some more information about the banana pudding.
I bet they would. Today's Rickard Ridge Barbecue Spoken Out question, who's got to step up for the Vols tonight against Vandy? 45% of the audience says Kyle Alexander.
Wow.
23% say Admiral Schofield. 22% say Jordan Bowden, and 14% going with Lamonte Turner. Give us your thoughts, 865-546-8200, 546-8200. A couple lines available if you want to jump in here on the Drive this afternoon. Breaking it down with you. And we've been all basketball. I had a great conversation with Armani Moore at the top of this hour. If you missed that, be sure to go back and and check it out on the podcast. And we got some other things to get to for you here. Did you see where the AAF is already struggling?
Well, not anymore, because some NHL owner
invested $250 million. But yeah. That is not a good sign. 2 weeks in, and yeah, you've got to bring in
their entire payroll for the league's like $33 million a year. So they're pretty solvent now, I would say.
I don't know, man. I'm no Warren Buffett over here, but it just seems to me like a huge red flag if you're having to basically bring in a new guy's investor and chairman a couple of weeks in. Is that something? I mean, 6 million people, they said, watched that first game on CBS the week after the Super Bowl. It feels like that went down. Did you guys see the pictures of the game in Memphis over the weekend?
No.
So you guys didn't even see this. They had like somebody tweeted out.
You showed me a picture of it.
A picture of the Liberty Bowl where the Memphis team is playing its game during the national anthem. And I'm not kidding when I say there's less than 1,000 people there, maybe a couple hundred people there. I mean, it was empty. Is it going to work?
It's got a better shot than the XFL.
Why?
XFL's already failed once. I just don't have any faith in Vince McMahon being able to make a go of it the second time around. Plus, he's starting a year after this one.
If this one fails, if I were Vince, I would save the money and just fold. Like, I hate to be a pessimist here about it, but I don't think either one of them is going to work. I just don't think there's enough appetite for it. Now, if you could get that 6 million number, that's a decent number if you can get that many people to watch consistently. But it doesn't seem to me that there's a tremendous appetite. I know I'm a sports guy. I'm a football fan. I haven't watched a single play of that league, and I don't have any plans to.
I watched Matt Sims complete a pass, and I saw some other quarterback just absolutely crushed.
Yeah, I saw that one on Twitter. I saw where Spurrier, they played that team in San Antonio, took a shot at us, but apparently that place was, there's a lot of people in the, what was that, San Antonio?
Yeah.
He said it was loud there.
Okay.
So they play in a dome, so that helps a little bit.
This Machado guy, $300 million with the Padres.
Good God almighty.
$300 million.
So glad he's now going to the Yankees.
He could.
Bryce Harper can stay the hell out too.
They're paying him more than this dude's paying inflexing cash to this football league.
And the thing is, Padres still going to suck. They're still probably the third best team in their division.
But for him, he gets to live
at best.
San Diego is, one of the probably loveliest places to live in all of America.
San Diego.
And he is wealthy beyond anybody's wildest imaginations now. I'd go play for a loser. $300 million, get to live in San Diego. Yeah, where do I sign?
I'd like to have that, what's that guy's name? The deal of the Mets. Every summer, he gets like $1 million.
Oh, Bobby Bonilla?
Yeah.
When did he sign that deal? Like 1999?
Yes.
Or even maybe earlier than that, like mid-90s? Yeah. It was like 20 years. He gets $1 million every year for...
Guaranteed. Deferred.
That's sweet. That is sweet. He worked them.
His agent did, for sure.
Folks, be sure to try the curbside pickup service here at Corner 16. It's fantastic. I live not too far from here, and at least once or twice a month, I'll get the missus to go on online, corner16.com, place a to-go order. You drive up to the curbside. They bring it out. You don't even have to get out of your car. Back home within minutes, chowing down on some wings or burgers or something like that. Fantastic. Corner16.com. They do a fantastic job with that. Find out why Corner 16 was voted 2017's best new restaurant by the Best of Knoxville News Sentinel Readers Poll. They're entering year three. And Corner 16 is fantastic. You're going to love it. Come check them out. When we continue, got some basketball numbers. Is Tennessee about, 2.5 hours away, a little over 2 hours away from tip-off at Thompson Bowling Assembly Center and Arena. 7 o'clock tip at TBA. John Reed will have your volunteer reaction as soon as it's over, about 9 o'clock tonight here on Fan Run Radio. We'll go inside the numbers. A lot of people wondering, what does Tennessee have to do to get better the next time they see the Kentucky Wildcats? I think I've got it figured out. Stay with us. We'll let you in on it when we continue next year on Fan Run Radio.
The Drive.
All right, Fox Sports Knoxville. The Drive continues live from Corner 16 this afternoon. Getting ready for Tennessee Vanderbilt tonight at 7 o'clock down there. And, you know, we talk about moving on from the meltdown in Lexington. So much left to play for. So many big games. So much left ahead for, you know, the great team. Could be the best in school history when it's all said and done, but that is a fine line. Remember that 2008 team that we're all comparing it to as the best team of the Bruce Pearl era, the one that went to, well, actually, they didn't go to the Elite Eight, but the one that was number one, Chris Lofton, senior year, for a brief moment. That team faded down the stretch.
I still think if Chris hadn't had his unfortunate medical problem, that would have been a much different year.
We were number one for a minute. That team ended up getting bounced, and bounced rather decisively by Louisville in the Sweet 16. That team faded down the stretch. Now, I don't think that should happen to this year's team, because that team's problems were point guard related, as I recall. We were playing Jordan Howell at the point for a while, then we switched to J.P. Prince, I think, played point in the tournament, and it was really weird. Obviously, we're not going to have that problem with this year's team, because I think Jordan Bone is unquestionably the man at point guard, and Lamonte Turner is a very capable backup. So I don't worry about that. But here's the bottom line. You look at the numbers, guys. We got to get back to our roots. Last year, we were an elite defensive team.
Tenacious.
Defense wins championships. And I believe Roberto mentioned, what was the stat? Like, I don't think anybody's ever won a national title or maybe even been to a Final Four without finishing in the KenPom era, the top 40 in defensive efficiency. Right now, we are 51st in the country defensive efficiency per KenPom. Now, we're second in offense, number two in the country. So we're doing well on the offensive end. Last year, though, check this out. Last year, we were number six overall in defensive efficiency, 51st this year.
Not good, Russ.
Why do you think that is? This is all the same guys. We did lose, I get James Daniel III and Darrington, I guess. You know, I mean, they were nice defensive players. But still,
I don't know. It's like the mystery of the Sphinx. Why did this team get worse on defense this year? They're a lot better on offense, though, aren't they?
Yeah, well, I mean, 36th last year, second to this year.
No.
Do you think that's it? I mean, I go back to
No, because I mean, not if we're hoping to make the, you know, the Elite Eight or the Final Four, because those teams are the ones that are like 2 in offense and 10 in defense. You got to be good in both if you want to make it to the third weekend.
This is just a theory. I don't know.
Throw it out there.
I'd like to see the numbers on, like how many more possessions.
Yeah.
Teams are getting against us this year, because I mean, with us scoring more,
that's totally, this is defensive efficiency, so it takes into account the possessions. It's a point per possession based statistic.
Never mind then.
No, I mean, I think what you're saying is right. The overall scoring total is up, I think, because of that. I go back to what Barnes said, and this was weeks ago. I think he had this quote like 3 weeks ago, like when we had just become number one. And maybe it was after the Vanderbilt game, or like somebody had torched us, you know, one of those games where somebody shot 60% from three against us. And he was asked about why the drop-off in the defense weeks ago. And his theory is that our team is so good offensively that they subconsciously realize that
they don't have to play as good of a defense.
Because they can make it up on the other end. Nobody can stop them. And guess what? They ran into a team that can stop them, or at least slow them down a lot the other night, and the defense wasn't there.
Yeah, that, I think that's possible.
I'm sorry, I'm completely distracted. I'm trying to figure out what I was going to eat here at corner 16. My mouth.
So I don't know what you do. Like, if there's a switch you can flip to instantly go from 51st or whatever in the country defensive efficiency back into the top 10.
Well, if there is, I wish they'd go ahead and flip it.
But here's the again, man. Like, the schedule was front loaded. It's going to be more difficult now because we play a really good offensive team Saturday and a really good offensive team the Saturday after that. And Ole Miss can score. Mississippi State can score. Heck, Vanderbilt, for all their flaws, has got guys who can really shoot it. I mean, it's going to
lit us up the last time we played them, Russ.
Yeah. So I think that's the key. We talk about Bowden and Turner missing all the open shots that they missed the other night, and no doubt that was a huge role in that game. And we talk about level of intensity, and I think that was the biggest factor, physicality, all that stuff. But defense, man, you want to
go far in the tournament, you better be playing good defense.
Yeah, what Phil said, like, he wants to at least get to the Elite Eight. You want to get that far, man, you got to start guarding like you did last year. If you want to get that far.
We beat Kentucky 2 out of 3 last year. And I mean, I realize that Washington went out in that first game down here with some kind of weird, either cramps or injury. He didn't come back in, but I mean, we handled him up there. I mean, what's the difference?
Yeah, it's hard to put your finger on. We'll see if Saturday was a message that this team takes to heart and uses as a rallying cry, or if this is kind of a recurring theme. You've been buried in the menu for the entire segment. Like, what you're looking at that thing.
What are you deciding between, Bear? He's even got the flashlight.
Flashlight out. Do you need your readers? Can I get you your readers, Gramps? I mean, what do you need here?
I mean, we can go out. It's 4:54. We got 5 minutes before the 5 o'clock hour starts. We can go outside and talk about it, Dubs. You want to make fun of me on the radio?
Well, you don't have.
I can't see in low light. I'm not supposed to drive after
dark. What
are you
deciding between, Bear? I know meatloaf's on there.
The whole damn thing, man. That's what I said. I can barely talk my mouth.
You should go meatloaf sandwich.
Did you get that last time?
Yeah, man, I get the meatloaf every time. I'm trying to branch out here.
You had the sandwich?
So that's just adding bread and cheese to their incredible meatloaf.
But it's like it's one of those toasted, buttery
brioche.
Oh, yeah. Is that what it is? A brioche? I don't know what that is.
Yeah, it's a brioche bun. It's a type of bread, Russ.
Brioche sounds good. Sounds French. I like French.
I mean, the chicken salad sandwich. I'm trying to decide whether I want to go heavy or light. Because I am getting banana pudding.
Well, then you want to go light.
All right, well, try. Can you make a decision here? Because that light's it's blinding me. Can you make a decision by the time we kick off hour number 3?
Yeah.
Stay with us. The Drive continues. We'll hit the reset button for those of you just joining us. With The Drive continues, coming up next right here on Fan Run Radio.
The Drive.